Little Hand says it's time to rock and roll.
Bring the noise.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Welcome to Earth.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
Bond. James Bond.
Pop quiz, hot shot.
Your move, creep.
Get off my plane.
Get your ass to Mars.
I feel mean. The knees hurt me.
I'm your huckleberry.
What do you see? We cut the Kit Kat a-hole.
Hey, motherfucker.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Everything Action Cast for the week of November 14th, 2016. I'm your host, Zach. This time we have Chris.
Hello.
And Joe.
Hey, hey.
And let's dive right in because we have a ton of stuff to talk about as usual this week. We actually got a ton of huge trailers to talk about to kick things off with. And we'll kick it off with, I think it's one of my most anticipated. I don't know about you guys, but next year, Kong Skull Island. We got the a new trailer. We haven't seen anything from it since Comic Con, really. But yeah, we got a new trailer last night. Recorded on Thursday, and yeah, so just a ton of, like, if you want to see Kong, like, this is the trailer. If you want to see Kong, because he's all over it, along with other monsters and John C. Reilly,
who I just forgot he's in it, mm-hmm. And then now I see a lot of
everyone kind
of
did, like, because he wasn't in that first trailer at all, and it was like, oh yeah, it's not just Samuel Jackson just yelling at people, yelling at Kong, which I would be totally fine with, but just Samuel Jackson just, like, screaming at Kong. And yeah, and it looks like, what I really like is, like, the, like, Vietnam War, like, it's basically Apocalypse Now, but with King Kong. Because it's set in the 70s.
Yeah.
And so it's all, like Vietnam, like, era, like, helicopters and, all M16s all over the place, and I'm sure it'll probably be, like, tons of 70s music. Someone will play Creedence at some point, I'm gonna bet right now.
That's another thing. 70s had, like, a lot of music. A lot. Also, like, not a lot of good music either, too. But everyone plays, like, just, like, the best 30 songs over and over again about the 70s.
Well, especially nowadays. Like, in the 70s, the music was better. Now it's just kind of like, hey, remember these songs? Like, yeah, I didn't know that only 5 songs came out in the 70s.
Remember Creedence?
Creedence, Hendrix, and, like, Rolling Stones. Those are, like, the two bands I always think of, like, if you had to just think about wartime era music.
Creedence.
It's never, like, disco, you know? Like, it's always a joke about the 70s when disco shows up.
Yeah.
Well, because they needed it. It's like, hey, we just need something really mellow that you could just, like, sit to.
Yeah.
Yeah, you need disco. You know, a lot of vets coming back driving with the windows down, just listening to, like, ABBA. No? You don't really have to do much thinking when it comes to Dancing Queen, you know?
But I told you, I'm thinking, like, that would have been a whole different vibe if this movie had, like, them listening to ABBA on the helicopter, then, like, a palm tree comes in, like, through the window of their Huey.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, and then obviously the big thing about this one is that it's set in the Godzilla 2014 universe, which, and it's leading to the inevitable Godzilla vs. King Kong rematch.
Yes. And this time, it's personal.
Yeah.
I also like that it doesn't seem like there's only one Kong. Like, it could just be like a tribe of Kongs.
It looks like he's the last of them.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool, you know?
Oh. There's been a ton of stuff in the island because there's just, like, those giant skeletons everywhere. Like, so there might have been, like, dinosaurs or who knows what on this island.
John C. Reilly, too. I don't know. This is, like, whatever he's been doing.
Like, John C. Reilly is, like, secretly just, like, a monster slayer.
Yeah, he's secretly, like, such a badass.
Yeah. Kong still seems like I think this is, like, the biggest Kong's ever been in a movie, but he still seems pretty small compared to, like, Godzilla 2014.
Oh yeah,
like, totally. I just think, like, that first shot when you see the full shot of Godzilla in that movie at the airport, where it's just like it seems like it pans up for, like, forever.
Oh, but yeah, that was incredible.
And, like, especially in the theater, that was just like, oh my god.
Yeah.
So yeah, so I'm definitely curious to see like how Kong is gonna hang with Godzilla when they fight. He has like the speed advantage, I guess. But yeah, I mean, yeah, the way it looks awesome. I saw a lot of people compare it to it looks sort of like people were saying like it looks like Fury Road kind of. Like, that same, like, really, like, blown out, like, colors.
Yeah.
It is a filter.
Yeah.
It's because of the fire and everything. It's, like, gritty at times when, like, there's, like, a dust storm or something that's happening on this island.
Yeah. Probably also doesn't help that, like, they're mapping the island by dropping bombs on it.
How do you know this island? We just have been, you know, blowing it up to see, like, how loud we can get, like.
Well, I think
I'm not sure that's how real mapping technique
works. Well, I think it's similar. Like, you guys remember in Jurassic Park in the beginning when they used that like shotgun thing to like map the skeleton in the ground? I think it's like ground penetrating radar, I guess.
I guess.
I guess, but like, I don't know like how bombs work with that, but it's sort of a thing, I guess. or you could just fly over the island and like just like draw it.
Use a boat to like just circle around it.
Yeah,
that'd be like the first step, right? When before you start dropping bombs, I figure
they have aerial shots of the island, like because they're doing that slide presentation at the beginning of the trailer.
See, that's the problem about having a movie like this set in the future is that because there's so many. Like technology, like, you know, so much to our advantage of how we can just do things that, like, it would be just crazy to send, like, a human, like, squad just be, like, poking around. So that's why the 70s works during this.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm pretty sure in the 70s we still had, like, surveying technology. Like, radar exists.
Yeah, they had radar and stuff, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, well, it's interesting. It makes it, like, it gives us a reason why to go explore it. Like,
Kong is pissed.
Yeah. Because up until this point, they've just been, like, on this island and just on peace. And then it's, like, we just came in bombing it. Just say, like, hey, what's here?
Yep. But, yeah, so that's going to be out in March next year. It's definitely, like, top five most anticipated for me.
Yeah, oh, for sure, man. Me too. I'm a sucker for the, like, in a good way. I'm a sucker for, like, giant monsters. So, Godzilla, King Kong, Pacific Rim 2. Maybe.
Yeah. So, other big trailer. We got the first trailer for Ghost in the Shell. After they had a bunch of like weird 10-second clips, but now that they're all together along with a bunch of other footage for the actual first trailer, which I think is also coming out in March next year. But yeah, Starling Scarlett Johansson is the Major. And
Major.
Yeah, just an adaptation of the beloved anime.
Yeah, the first movie, which is like the most bizarrest one, because a lot of people haven't seen the first movie in a long time. It's like never on TV anymore.
Yeah, it's always like Ghost in the Shell, like Chronicles, like Son of Ghost in the Shell.
Yeah, it's like it's the one that they just like cut out the weird like, the first movie is just kind of like, isn't robots, like, cool? Like, it's just a lot of, like, fascinating about technology. They got rid of that part in the TV show, the Standalone Complex, and they just made, like, hey, like, look at, like, the evils. It got, like, Black Mirrored, basically, where it's like, oh, this is the dangers of, like, too much technology.
Mm.
And, like, that's, like, the new series, and it's actually way more entertaining, because it's not like, oh, are humans ready for this advancement? You know what I mean? I'm just like, ah. And this movie, it's like it's a hard sell for like newcomers because like everyone, do you guys know the term Ghost in the Shell already from like a non geeky perspective?
Not no.
It's no. Just like
machine I've heard, but
yeah. It's just like, yeah, is there like does a machine have a soul?
Yeah,
like that's the but like the movie addresses that instantly when they're like, oh, by the way, like you still have a human brain, like you can't, I mean, like, like, you just got rid of the whole philosophy of, like, is it you or is it your AI?
It's like, do machines have souls? Yes.
Yes, and just instantly. That's to say, like, what? Like, in the anime, it was not revealed that, like, a lot of them have their brains intact. Like, a lot of them supposed to be, like, cloud data, or it's, like, they're just pure, like, artificial AI. And the major is, here's the part where I get rusty, because it's, like, so many versions of her. I think she's just pure AI. Like, she never had a human body. And then, because she was just programmed to be, like, a cop.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like through her action, she learns to be like a better person and everything. But in this version, it's like, no, that's going to be too deep for some
RoboCop,
people.
It's RoboCop, kind of.
Yeah, she's RoboCop. That's why I'm kind of like, fuck. Like, that's the shoo-in. It's like, oh, you like RoboCop? Well, it's like, what if RoboCop had tits? And like,
and what if...
Now you have my attention.
Yeah, it's just like,
It's like Django Unchained, where it's like, you have my curiosity, but now you have my attention.
Because it's like her...
RoboCop with like weird like Hong Kong...
Tokyo, like Blade Runner,
Neo Tokyo,
the original Ghost in the Shell anime was like a Blade Runner kind of show, but it was just like two main characters. It's her and her partner, and this time they stole something from like the current show, and they gave her a squad, and all the people on her team are humans with either android upgrades or like cybernetic implants. You know, like they weren't always robots. You know, and then. That's why I'm kind of like, well, then you start losing the whole concept in the first version where it's like, these are just robots who like look like humans who then develop like better human behaviors through their actions. Like that, it's like very old school sci-fi in that sense. And it was great. But then it's just like, okay, like modern teens don't get this. So it's like, let's just amp up the sex factor. Let's amp up like what's hot about tech robots these days. So I was like, like the worst part is I think like in the full reveal they show the assembly of the major.
Yeah.
You see like the brain. I was like, come on. So I don't know. That's one version I didn't like. So I'm like, okay, but I have no problem about the casting. I have no problem about like the looks because it looks good. But like so do most modern movies these days.
Yeah, it looks pretty nuts. It looks like very. I know The Matrix borrowed a lot from Ghost in the Shell. But this looks like it's borrowing back from The Matrix, like.
Yeah, it's kind of like art imitating art again.
Yeah.
I do appreciate that they're trying to downplay the whole, like, why is Scarlett Johansson a white person in Japan? It's just like, let's not address that. Like, they're just like. Because, like, the company who makes her is blatantly a Japanese company. But yeah. It's kind of like, we're a big fan of Scarlett Johansson.
It's like why the Terminator is all Arnold.
Yeah. It's like a lot of movies with like cyborgs or whatever, they always try to explain why they chose the model. I remember in like movie Solo.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. It was like because of Michael Jordan. And like Solo's another like weird Ghost in the Shell type movie where it's like an android and it's just like it wants to be human like. And that's basically what like Ghost in the Shell is kind of like, but not to this degree, but it's just kind of like, oh yeah, like why'd you pick the woman? Like I got a thing for like,
have you seen those titties?
But see, that's why some of the cyborgs don't have like sexy tones. They're just kind of like, they have the implants in their eyes or they have a hand that's like a robot. It's kind of like, yeah, like I just needed the upgrade, but like not this overall like RoboCop vibe.
It's my sexy robot hand. It never gets tired.
So that's going to be March as well next year. And then also March is going to be freaking jam-packed next year, so get ready.
Chock full of films.
Yeah. The first trailer for the Beauty and the Beast reboot came out this week as well.
And people were watching that like on loops or something because it broke so many records.
It was the most watched trailer in YouTube history in like a 24-hour period.
Jesus Christ.
Like, perverts and, like, families were watching it. It just Furries. United everyone. Yeah.
It looks, like, it's Beauty is Beast as fuck. Like, it's definitely Beauty and the Beast. Like, they're doing shot-for-shot recreations of scenes.
Hey, man, that's the medicine.
Mm-hmm. I feel like you have to do it with this one, because, like, Cinderella and, like, Jungle Book, you could kind of, like, do a little bit different thing, because there wasn't that much to the original cartoons. But like, Beauty and the Beast is like first, it was like the first anime movie nominated for like Best Picture, and like just like always like at least like top three of like all time Disney movies. So it's like,
oh yeah,
the like pressure is like way higher on this one.
Yeah, this isn't Pocahontas, motherfucker.
Mm-hmm. And he said all all these songs from the are gonna be in this one, plus like there's like a bunch of new songs from Al Mankin.
Ooh.
So
new songs.
Yeah.
That's not risky.
Well, I think that there's a new character that Stanley Tucci's playing that's like a pipe organ or something, so I think they're gonna have like at least one song based around him.
I will allow it.
But yeah, I mean, yeah, the cast is crazy. Emma Watson is Belle. Dan Stevens is the Beast. Kevin Kline is Maurice. Luke Evans is a Gaston. Josh Gad has Love
of Folk. Luke Evans looks weird, though, as Gaston. He's not like... He doesn't look like a bodybuilder, you know? Like, Gaston always looks like a classy, like, German bodybuilder in the originals.
Yeah.
The Luke Evans just looks like he just walked off the set from like The Hobbit and just kind of like changed his jacket.
I just need to hear the Gaston song that will make or break this movie. And then Ewan McGregor, Ian McKellen, Emma Thompson are playing Lumiere, Cogsworth, and Mrs. Potts.
Yeah, they're the ones who have like the most songs, I think. At least, like, Lumiere does. He has, like, Be Our Guest and then Tales of Time.
Well, Mrs. Potts, in the like, I don't know if... I think Emma Thompson would probably sing Beauty and the Beast, because Angela Lansbury sang it in the first one. The original.
Wasn't that a song originally a duet, though?
Well, I think, like, the pop version was, like, Celine Dion and someone. I can't remember who the other person
someone
was.
Someone else.
Yeah.
I think it was, like, Luther Vandross or something.
Yeah, Like Lionel Richie, maybe. I know Lionel Richie was on one of those pop version Disney songs.
Well, you know, better renew those contracts, because I feel this movie's going to make a dickload of money.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. All the money.
Oh, what do you guys think of, like, the furniture characters? Like, their, like, new look where, like, it's, like, very, like, it's just, like, they're, like, so, like, it's not, like... They just also suddenly get, like, faces and stuff. It's, like, integrated into, like, their designs and stuff.
Yeah. I didn't mind it. It makes sense. It's because it's a good mix of both, instead of being like, wow, why does that candle have eyebrows? But it's not crazy, like, okay, that little, like, screwdriver hole is, like, its mouth. Like, it's kind of, like, a nice mix between.
Yeah, I like the, like, how, like, Chip and Mrs. Potts have, like, their faces are part of, like, the painting
the design. Yeah, it's like this whatever curse this was, it was like it was subtle about putting faces on things.
Mm-hmm.
Like did they show the dog arm the footrest yet?
No.
Like that's kind of important too in the original story.
Yeah,
that there was a somehow a poor dog became like it got caught. That dog was an animal, wasn't even human, and got involved in the curse.
Yeah, that was weird.
That witch is a bitch. Like,
yeah.
Like, I don't know. I gotta watch Beastly again to see if, like,
oh, Jesus Christ,
if that ever came up. Like, I don't remember if
the Ron Perlman, Ron Perlman show.
I think Ron Perlman had talking furniture.
No, he just lived in the sewer. Like, I think Ron Perlman was more like a werewolf or something, or just like a monster. Like, he was just like, I just live in the sewer. George R. R. Martin writes my scripts.
You know, he probably had way more, like, sex scenes and stuff in the original script than there's just like, George, we talked about this.
And then the Beast, like, rips his face off with his claws. And you see, like, brain matter come out, and then it's like, George, this is a show at CBS at 8 o'clock at night.
This is meant for families, George.
Yeah.
Yeah, sexy families.
So live action Beauty and the Beast, March 17th next year. So yeah, March. I think also Fast and the Furious 8 is March. So It's like summer. Summer starts 2 months early. And then we also got this week the first trailer for Justice League Dark, which is going to be the next DC animated movie. Also, the next R-rated DC animated movie.
Woo!
It's going to be out...
Or the first, depending on who you're asking.
Yeah, if you just ignore the other one.
What are you talking about?
Wait, Justice League War was... not War, but like Crisis on Infinite Earth, that was PG-13?
They were all PG-13 until Killing Joke.
Yeah, or unrated.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Hard PG-13.
Alright. Yeah.
But yeah, Justice League Dark is going to be full R. And it's basically demons, like, just start attacking everyone in the DC Universe, and Batman goes to recruit John Constantine, and then all the other magical DC heroes, or anti-heroes.
With their spirit guide, Batman.
Yes. And it looks like it, like, in the end, like, the actual, like, the Justice League and Justice League Dark are going to team up to fight these demons. So, yeah, so you got Constantine, you got Zatanna, Deadman, Etrick and the Demon, Swamp Thing.
Old Swampy.
Yep.
I'm psyched for, for this movie, period, but I'm psyched for, like, the crabby Constantine-Batman banter and just the whole revelation of Swamp Thing into the greater DC animated universe, you know?
And I love that Swamp Thing is, like, pissed.
Yeah.
Know? Like, he's not, like, the original, like, Swamp Thing TV show or the cartoon that just kind of, like, welcome! Like, you know, he's, like, friendly about shit.
It's like, what have you done to the green? And also, Constantine played, of course, by Matt Ryan, who should be Constantine in...
Who is Constantine, yes. Yeah. He's like Kevin Conroy with Batman,
yep.
Where it's just kind of like, hey, can you just always be Batman? I mean, voice? Yeah, or in general, just whatever. Just definitely always be Batman.
One part of me, like, it's unfortunate that Keanu Reeves is, like, the only one to compare to. And it's not like Keanu Reeves is, like, a super terrible actor, but it's kind of like... You know, they never asked him back after the first movie. They're just like, no. Like, not even a redemption like they did for, like, Ryan Reynolds. It's kind of just like, that's it, Keanu, no more.
Yeah.
Mr. Reeves, how dare you?
He's like, I got some time between John Wick. I could voice... No.
Well, like, the Constantine movie was definitely, like, one of those, like... Like, it was... Because that was I think that was definitely before, like, Iron Man kicked off, like, the DFC kicked off. It was, like, in that weird, like, comics are dumb, like, we're gonna turn this movie, we're just gonna do, like, this movie sort of based on it.
How it should be.
Yeah.
Our interpretation.
Yeah. But yeah, it's gonna be out on DVD and Blu-ray in January. So definitely keep an eye out for that one. And then last trailer, we got the full trailer for the upcoming series of Unfortunate Events show coming to Netflix in January.
Yeah,
the take two after the they failed to make a movie. Series out of the Jim Carrey one. But Neil Patrick Harris is taking over as Count Olaf, who's trying to murder these orphans and steal their money.
That's what you do.
As much as I love orphan murder, I'm not really, like, terribly looking forward to it. I mean, I don't have anything against it, but I'm just not, like, coming in my pants over it, you know?
It looks like Dark Wes Anderson.
Yeah.
Like if like Wes Anderson and, like Tim Burton teamed up to make a movie or something, because it's got like all it's it looks like it's very like whimsical, but then it's also like super dark.
True.
I just feel like the Lemony Snicket boat kind of like left a while ago, and it's really hard to get the hype back up.
Yeah.
At least for me, like, was, I know some hard fans wanted to see the rest.
It was one of those, right after Harry Potter came out, they were like, it was like the first wave of like, whatever's like Harry Potter, get a movie made of it.
Well, it was like sad orphan children series. It's like everyone.
Golden Compass. Let Me Snicket, and then like
Chronicles of Narnia.
Spiderwick Chronicles. Like,
oh, yeah. God.
Bridget Terabithia. Yep.
Hugo.
Was it way later?
I think Hugo was the end of it. Hugo was just like, that's it, no more.
Oh, Percy Jackson.
Percy Jackson was different though. That was like the rise of Greek shit back in pop culture again.
The rise of Greek shit. That's awesome.
Because then they do like so that's another category. That brought back like the Clash of the Titans, and then that brought back like that made the Immortals.
God of War.
Yeah. Oh yep. God.
But yeah, let me just say, I didn't mind the series of books. Like, it's a fun read. Like, they're really easy to read. So I'm like, you know, no harm in that. It's dark. It's really Tim Burton-y. And it's like, Tim Burton should have, like, just bought the rights and done it at his own pace. But, like, because it's up his alley. Like,
yeah.
The books are really grim, but they're, like, entertaining. And, you know, like I said, like, the story's not that complex. It's not bad. It's going to Netflix. I'll watch it when I have time, but it's not like, oh my God, did you see this episode? Mind changing.
Well, it's gonna be 8 episodes, and they're dropping Friday the 13th in January.
I don't think is it gonna be like one season, or are they covering all the books? Like,
I don't know if it's just the first book or what they're doing, but I think
they can't ever get over that hump. It's always the hard part about a long series is, like, the first book is usually the hardest to cover, and then it's, like, gauging the interest. Like, I don't know about you guys, but I really want to see the complete Chronicles of Narnia, because, like, there's 6 books. I mean, I'm not sure if the cartoon series ever covered all the books, but they can never get past, like, Prince Caspian.
They're gonna cover the first 4 books in this season.
Oh,
like each book is gonna be 2 episodes.
That's faster. Like that's not bad.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess they'll gauge it. But it's like they really knew, like, let's not try to do the whole series because, like, let's see how the money comes in first.
Yeah. But yeah. So keep an eye on your Netflix. Next year, and then way more original series to come on Netflix. Guess what? That's what they're trying to do now.
Maybe they'll like. They're always trying to promote weird Netflix series that Netflix at the end sticks their names on. Mm-hmm. We're just like, well, this is 80% of an idea.
We bought this Netflix British show.
Yeah, it's so hot right now.
Yeah. So, moving on to other news, there's actually quite a bit of weird Marvel rumors and news over the last week or so. So, we found out that there was actually Fox and Marvel have actually made a deal recently.
A deal with the devil?
So, for Guardians 2, obviously Kurt Russell is going to be playing Ego the Living Planet. But apparently Fox owned the rights to Ego. So, but then Marvel, like MCU, like Marvel Studios owned the rights to Negasonic Teenage Warhead. So they traded so that Negasonic Teenage Warhead could be in Deadpool. And Ego could be in Guardians 2.
And the rest is movie history.
So, well, I think, so the main thing of this is like, pot, like, the hope of this, like, sparks the hope of, like, they could reach a
Sony. Yeah, they're working. Yeah. They're playing nice.
Yeah,
they're playing nice, which hopefully means Cable, you know, and some other X-Men type stuff. So let's keep that crazy train rolling.
Rip, yank the Fantastic Four away from Fox before they destroy them further.
Yeah.
And then we also found out that there might be more plans for Ghost Rider after this current season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., like possibly a spinoff show or a movie.
Put him on the Punisher. Do it. Or fuck, give him his own shit too. Mm-hmm. That, you know, I'd be fine with that.
I would be up for a Netflix series, like just make get, like.
And really, what do they have to lose?
Mm-hmm.
You know.
And it was pretty there's a pretty major, I think it was like it's, I think it's been out for a few weeks, but I think the last episode they kind of had like the new Ghost Rider's backstory, or how like this Ghost Rider got formed, and there was another Ghost Rider that's like it looked like either it definitely looked like Johnny Blaze or maybe like even like Danny Ketch or something, but there was another Ghost Rider like that like basically transferred the Ghost Rider power to like this new Robbie Reyes. So there's another Ghost Rider somewhere in the MCU.
Interesting.
And it's definitely like just the fact that Ghost Rider's on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. like is like has probably made this like the best season of that show.
Yeah, I actually have to go back and start watching it now.
Mm-hmm. It's like oh, this is actually cool.
Yeah.
Well, once they have like just that's the power of just like one recognizable superhero that wasn't like,
yeah,
like revealed obscene shit,
random like inhuman or like,
yeah,
like or like, yeah, or like random C-list villain,
or it's kind of like a nod to, you know, and it, or it wasn't, yeah, like Deathlok where it took so long and then it's like the big payout was, yeah, not exciting.
Yeah, they did Deathlok okay. Probably the best character they've done before Ghost Rider was like Absorbing Man, because it was perfectly comic book Absorbing Man.
I didn't watch far enough to watch that.
But yeah, we'll have to wait and see after the season like what's going on with Ghost Rider. But we definitely need more crazy dark Marvel stuff. Let's get Moon Knight. Where's Moon Knight?
Yeah, give me Moon Knight. That's a, like, they can do that. That's a character, if they do it right or wrong, it's still Moon Knight.
And Blade!
Oh, the Daywalker. Give him a chance.
Yep.
They said, I mean, people have been dropping hints that they're trying to do something with old Wesley Snipes, yeah. So. God, I hope that's true.
Does Wesley know? Because.
I believe so. I believe so. I would love to see, as we've talked about on this podcast many times before, a Marvel Knights type shared universe,
mm-hmm,
on Netflix, you know?
That'd be awesome. Like, if they do Defenders, and then kind of like,
yeah,
let them, like, let that marinate
yeah, for a little while. You
know? First round guys chill out and then like do like just all Marvel Knights people. Yeah.
Moon Knight, Ghost Rider, and actually do Johnny instead of training wheels over there. and fucking Blade. And then have the Punisher kind of be like the Daredevil of the group.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where it's like it all kind of falls back on him. Like, you know that show is going to be popular no matter what, because like everybody and their mother loved John Bernthal, and you know everyone's already excited for that. In other words, it was kind of like with Defenders, where it's like, well, even if one of these shows, if none of these shows really hit with fans, which I don't think anyone ever thought that was a threat, but they knew that Daredevil was so well received that if nothing else, he was going to be able to round it out.
Mm-hmm.
Punisher's your insurance, bro. Punisher's your insurance, and you know what? Make it miniseries. If you're worried about, you know, I don't know if people would be interested enough in 8 episodes or 9 episodes, whatever, 13 episodes. Well,
I think that's like the main. They need to like, hopefully Defenders kind of shows them like, hopefully Defenders is like a really solid 8 hours, and then they're like, oh, this works. We don't have to like drag things out.
Yeah,
we don't need 13 episodes, and 3 of them are filler episodes about
right.
driving.
Do eight or even seven episode seasons, miniseries, mm-hmm, it, and call it like a Netflix event, Marvel Knights, and you could have 6 episodes of Blade, 6 episodes of Moon Knight, 6 episodes of Ghost Rider, and then a full Punisher season, and then, because that's already ordered, yeah. You know, and then have a series like Defenders, 6 episodes, Marvel Knights, giant gangbang, you know, crossover, whatever you want to call it. I think that would be fantabulous. And many others as well.
Mm-hmm. Let's get Werewolf by Night. Remember that guy?
Oh, yeah, let's bring
Jack Terrier. I think his actual name was Jack Russell Terrier.
Well, I would be disappointed if I found out that wasn't his name.
Morbius. Anyway, other Marvel TV news. Pretty big news for the TV world of Marvel. The Inhumans, which was going to be a movie, is now going to be a TV show. But like it seems like it's not going to be like a spin-off of what they set up of on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. It's just going to be like the like actual Inhumans that everyone knows in the comics, like Black Bolt and Medusa and Lockjaw and all the crazy moon people. And it's going to be an 8-episode first season. It doesn't seem like any of the characters, like Inhumans they set up on S.H.I.E.L.D. are going to be included. It's going to be like the Inhuman royal family. And it's going to be next September. And they're gonna have the first 2 episodes are going to be in IMAX theaters for 2 weeks.
Whoa.
Before they're going to be on ABC.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
So they will kind of be a movie. They'll be in movie theaters.
Huh. What a time to be alive.
They could have gone indie with it. It's like, we're going to do micro movies where it's like, every month we release 10 minutes of footage here and there. It's like,
like old serials?
Yeah.
Yes. Oh my god, serials.
You have to watch like all the goddamn other movies to watch like the intros to get like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like you got to come 10 minutes early to the theater to watch it.
Mm-hmm. Come back next month for another thrilling MGM picture and the final installment of Batman versus the Wizard. I own those goddamn serials, man. Those are terrible.
Did you ever finish the whole thing? Because we can never get past like the first 8.
To this day, I still haven't finished the entire series. It was.
It's hard to watch. But we never watched that hammered though. I wonder what it's like by the end. We get
probably
really
much different.
We get by the end. We're like we're super patriotic. Batman's fucking like, planting the American flag into like Professor Tanaka's corpse. He's like, ah, America.
Batman, we killed him. He was a Jap Robin. He deserved to die.
My parents get killed by American bullies, not Japanese like us.
Dude, my favorite thing from that still to this day is, Batman, why are you driving Bruce Wayne's car? Oh, he let me borrow it. Oh, okay. Like, that was...
Phew, that was a close one.
That was a line in the... Anyway. Yeah, bring those back, man.
Yeah. But yeah, so in humans, we'll probably... probably see something at when they do the upfront stuff in, I think, May. We'll probably get the trailer for that or something, so keep an eye out for that. And then last bit in Marvel news is that because of the voice actor strike that's going on right now, they had to, SAG released a bunch of, like, upcoming products that are going to be affected, I guess, and the secret Telltale Marvel project that I think that was like last year, 2 years ago at E3. Like there's just like, hey, Telltale's working on a Marvel game. In this release of like upcoming projects, it got revealed that it's going to be a Guardians of the Galaxy game from Telltale.
Yeah. Cause you know, people were waiting their breath for that one.
Who doesn't want to play as Groot?
Oh my god. And then, yeah, there's like 5 different choices, but they're all Groot. 5 different dialogue choices.
Don't dance. Groot. 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 Or Groot. Or dot, dot, dot.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know. I got to say, like, their Batman game has been kind of a letdown so far.
Well, so, I thought the first episode was awesome.
First episode was great. It's just everything else has kind of sucked. So I kind of hope that gets better. Like, I hope that's just, you know, kind of it dying down a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's going to pick up steam in these last two episodes that are coming out. But, shit. I mean, I just hope that, I just hope that Guardians of the Galaxy is, maybe they learn from this adaptation, you know? I don't know.
Well, if nothing else, it'll probably have some awesome song choices, because,
oh, good.
Like, if you, Tales from the Borderlands, always, like, all those episodes kicked off with, like, an awesome song and, like, an awesome intro sequence.
Yeah. I feel like it's going to be similar to Tales of Borderlands.
Probably, yeah.
Like, if you had to think about Guardians of the Galaxy, I would have thought Borderlands is, like, perfect. Just change the characters to, like, Guardians, and instead of digging for planet treasure, it's kind of just, like, fucking around.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, so that's apparently coming up, but who knows? I guess because of the strike, it's going to be delayed for a while. Because I think it's, like, every... If it's not already, like, pretty far along in development, I guess it's gonna it's, like, delayed now, where they have to let her, like, not SAG actors if they want to keep going, but...
Well...
It's kind of up in the air right now, I think, for, like, the voice actors for games.
And what, where this whole 2017 is be year of the intern voice actors, where it's just like, you,
developers just, like, are voicing their own games.
Yeah, man, back in the 90s and stuff, when, like, voice acting wasn't a real thing yet, like, just anyone that sounded okay in mics, just, like, they threw on.
It's like, hey, Tom, great work on that level, but we need you to voice all the characters in the game, too.
Do you do any accents?
So, in other news, we got a bunch of TV premiere dates and... some renewal stuff. So we found out that the crazy looking Tom Hardy FX show Taboo is going to be coming in January to FX. January 10th. Which have you guys seen any of the trailers for that show?
I have not.
It's like it looks fucking nuts. Like there's no one has any idea what the hell this is. It's just crazy Tom Hardy like emerges from Africa and like goes to like Victorian London and is like I'm taking over my father's business. So it's sort of like Tarzan-y, I guess. How Tarzan came back and became like the English nobleman.
Boy do I.
But, like, yeah, it's just, like, Tom Hardy was just, like, in the darkness of Africa for, like, years. Now he's back. But on that, no one has any clue. But, really, Scott is producing it, so. Okay. So we got that. The Expanse, which is a... I would say sci-fi's best show is back in February, which it's a lot of people have, like said it's like the Game of Thrones of sci-fi because there's like three different storylines going on, there's a bunch of different characters, and it's like Earth and Mars and the asteroid belt are basically kind of like in a three-way war or about to be in a war. It's sort of like Call of Duty Infinite Warfare kind of has a simplified, similar plot to The Expanse, where it's like, this like humans settled other planets, but now the people who settle off Earth want to destroy Earth.
Okay. Have you watched Channel Zero, Candle Cove?
Yep. On Sci-Fi? Yeah, I finished it. It ended on Tuesday.
Yeah, I still have to see the last episode. I thought that was, I mean, obviously we could talk about this in a few minutes,
yep,
but
mm-hmm.
I thought that was pretty damn good for a sci-fi show. No offense, mm-hmm. but for a sci-fi show. So, they're looking strong, but we'll get to that.
Yeah, they kind of had, like they had a resurgence in the last few years. Like,
thankfully, a long overdue resurgence.
Yeah, they were, like, in dire straits for a while. Yeah. Like, they were just like, their biggest thing was Sharknado. Like,
yeah.
And then also over on CW, iZombie is going to be back on in March. And then Riverdale is going to be in January on the 26th. And they're actually moving Legends of Tomorrow, which apparently is tanking on Thursdays, is going to be following up The Flash on Tuesdays in the spring. And iZombie's going to take over Legends of Tomorrow's spot on Thursdays.
See, does scheduling play that much of an important role for these people for, like, shows like that?
Oh, your lead-in is, like, super important. Like, if you have a super strong lead-in, like, people will stay, like, because it's like, oh, well, I already watched the show I was actually going to watch, but I might as well stick around for this other show.
I mean, I used to work for that. Like, it used to trick me back in, like, TGIF and, like, 2 hours a night. Like, that was my Friday. Like, two or 3 hours a night TGIF was, like, the thing to do.
Yeah.
But they got rid of that. Like, they got rid of block mentality for a lot of, like, for, like, shows. So I'm just thinking, does that still work when you could DVR things and stuff?
Like, they always do, like, that's why they do, like, the, like, coming up next week. Like, they do all those, like, promos or, like, they kind of, like... Or they start, a lot of networks do, like, the next show will start while the credits for the last show are like, kind of, like, sandwiched on the bottom of the screen.
Yeah. I mean, that was one of the reasons I messed up about Flash and Arrow, because it's like, you had to watch back-to-back, or else you'd be lost for both.
Well, they were on separate nights, so it's not really the same thing. Like, leading is, like, it's, like, our whatever our strongest show is, we have to put, like, our weakest show or, like, our new show that we want to, like, get ratings behind this strong show.
I guess that still works, but, I mean, for me, because I don't watch a lot of, like, as they come on TV shows, so I'm like, oh.
And then, last little bit of TV, like, renewal or release news is that in, like, probably the biggest no-brainer in television history, Westworld is going to be back for a second season.
Oh, you don't say.
That little show that is getting...
Little show that could.
Yeah. Bigger than Game of Thrones, apparently.
I think anyone will just watch anything that's on HBO, and they know that, so they could basically make whatever show they want and then just pay attention to it being really good. You know what I mean? Like, instead of making a show that's super watchable and accessible to, like, you know, a mass audience, they could just focus on making the best show possible and just know that no matter what, you're going to get a million people to watch the premiere, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Westworld's been getting 11.7 million people per episode.
Jesus Christ, and that's not even counting all the people who do HBO Now or HBO Go or...
Well, that's...
On demand.
That's, with reruns VOD.
Okay. I was going to say, I was like, God damn it, that's amazing.
But it probably won't be back until 2018.
So good, let it breathe a little.
Yeah, so well, yeah, it's gonna take a whole year off. But considering like how huge, like, I don't know, like, it seems like that show is like definitely needs like a whole year to like shoot next season probably. So with the amount of characters and like the settings and everything.
Yeah, I would think so.
So
I haven't even watched it yet. I just keep hearing how fucking good it is.
It's really good.
I'm like, you could hear it. I'm almost like angry at how good apparently this show is that I haven't watched it.
Damn it!
Yeah. It can't be that good. It is. God damn it.
So keeping in TV news, FX is apparently going to be getting Why the Last Man as a series, which that thing has been like, it's gone through like two different movies and like five different directors, and like it's been like in like hell, like production hell for like years.
Yeah, man, I'm a fan of that series because it's very bleak, but it's like bleak with no like zombies or anything. It's just kind of like a lot of women.
Yep.
And like, I only read like certain parts of it, and then I read the end, like, and then I was really excited to see like it all kind of like be a live adaptation. This is before, like, way before Walking Dead too, so it's kind of like, I think why The Last Man was like right, they were like talking about production before The Walking Dead, and then The Walking Dead just made it worse, and they're just like, well, we can't have two shows that take place in a post-apocalyptic future.
Mm-hmm.
So they definitely are waiting it out, but like
that didn't stop all the Walking Dead bite off shows like Z Nation and shit like that.
That's true. I didn't scare them off, but
it was a different time though.
Yeah,
Walking Dead made so much money. They're like, fuck it, everyone, zombie everything.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. It's like zombie everything.
We'll give them a horror.
But this is like women everything.
The kids like women. Well, they're coming back now. They're making a fucking comeback. So, you know, now might be the time.
Yeah, now might be the time for Why the Last Man.
You know, if it's gonna be FX, like, I think that's pretty much guarantees, like, at least check out the first couple episodes.
It at least guarantees Lady Gaga will be involved.
In it just slowly devolves into American Horror Story.
It's a secret American Horror Story season.
Don't wish that evil on us.
So, just a couple last bit of movie news here. Apparently, Don't Breathe is getting a sequel.
Yes.
I don't think have anyone seen it yet. Like, I don't
have not seen it yet, but I'm very much looking forward to it.
Mm-hmm.
Heard it was good.
It made a ton of money. Like, it cost like $5 million. And it made like $100 million. So, yeah. So they're
that's a good sign.
Yep, they're planning a sequel for that one. And then apparently, there's going to be a reboot of The Green Hornet.
What?
Which I think, I just gotta pull this, but I think it's over at Paramount. But yeah, it's gonna be the gritty reboot of Green Hornet.
Okay.
With
well, anything will be better than the Seth Rogen version, so.
Mm-hmm. And Gavin O'Connor, who directed Warrior and the recent The Accountant, is going to be directing it.
Holy shit. That actually sounds pretty promising. Don't everybody jump up and down at once. Wow, that sounds great, crickets. Well, and it's been canceled.
It could probably be cool.
But that needs to go to like AMC.
Well, it's not. It's gonna be a movie. It's not a.
Oh! Fuck me. Well, then we're doomed.
But yeah. I wonder if this will, like, if this will, like, spawn like a new. If this does well, I wonder if it'll spawn like a new, like,
The Shadow.
Like, going back to like the '90s, where it's like all the radio serials become movies.
Oh God! I'm gonna do that again.
I'd be.
I don't know. See, like, I still remember the Green Hornet that Seth Rogen was in. It's just like, it's still a memory. It's not like, oh yeah, like, you know, like, it's not there yet.
It was 5 years ago.
Yeah, it's still kind of recent. It's not even a member berry yet. It's still a
thing. It's a member seed.
Yeah, like 10 more, it was like 10 years later, and it's like, remember Green Hornet? I remember that. That was terrible. It's like, we're doing it again. Yay. But it's still like, Seth Rogen still like talks about Green Hornet.
And he hates it.
Yeah. I liked it for Christopher Waltz, though. Like, that was Christopher Waltz, and that like was awesome.
And was it Rain Kano?
Was he? Because, no. It wasn't Rain, because Rain would have been a way better Kano. It was like, this Kano was like an unknown guy. They wanted Rain, but then, like, they were just like, no, we got some other guy. Jason Chu.
Jay Chow, yeah.
It was just like some other, like, Asian guy. And it's like, he's not a known martial artist, he's just a known, like, Asian pop singer. So they basically got, like, the Justin Timberlake of China to, like, be in that. I'm like,
yep.
Isn't that, like, his title? It's like, he's the Justin Timberlake of China? Like, all right. And he was the last thing he was in. It was in Now You See Me Too. So it's not like he's known for his fighting. Actually, no, he did pretty well in The Curse of the Golden Flower, though, so that's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
But just he was not Kano. He couldn't be Kano.
Where was Tony Jaa?
Oh, you got Tony Jaa throwing elbows and flying at people with, like, knees. Like, that totally different Green Hornet movie.
Maybe in this new one. Or maybe they can get Iko Uwe from The Raid.
Yeah. He has the haircut. Just slap on the like bandito like eye mask and a fighting driver suit.
Yeah, or Tiger.
Okay, but Tiger who Chen. Plays the Hornet though?
Oh man, Tom Hardy.
I was just gonna say that, or Jason Statham. Why not?
Oh my god, I'd say like a gritty older Green Hornet who's just like years of it, and you could see in his face.
Who are you? I'm the Green Hornet.
Yeah, so we'll wait and see. I guess they're writing the script for that, and it's in production right now. So, or like started like pre-production, or like they're like development phase. So, new Green Hornet on the way, and then maybe some other classic serial characters will be back as well. Phantom, Flash Gordon.
Didn't they try a Flash Gordon TV show that didn't do well either?
Yeah, like years ago on Sci-Fi.
Yep, and it was like skinny Flash Gordon, so it wasn't like muscle bound Jack.
Mandrick the Magician.
Oh, Jesus! Every time I see like comics of like the new Phantom and whatever,
yeah,
you see the Mandrake the Magician hanging out with them, and it just looks so awkward. It's like
there's a cartoon in the 90s that was it was the team was. Mandrake, the Phantom, and Flash Gordon.
Jeez. Yeah, they're like defenders of the
defenders
Earth.
Defenders of the Earth, yeah.
Yeah. I always watch the promos.
They fought Ming. They had like a team of like kids who just like followed them.
Yeah, it was like child endangerment all the fucking time.
It's like, oh, let's go, kids. Let's go to space. I don't know about that, Flash.
Where are the parents? Sexy children?
And then, like,
damn it, Phantom, you can't call them that. Sorry.
And it was part two was like Mandrake had like a he just had like a body man, like because like Mandrake couldn't fight at all, like he was just magic, so he just had like this it was like John Irons or something. It was like some like he just had some like this this guy who would just fight for him. He's like, go get him, John,
defend me.
Yes.
Wait, was he a white guy or a black guy?
He's a black guy.
Yeah.
And he had like a grappling hook and stuff, and he was just like... But yeah, he was just like Mandrake's bodyguard, because like, Mandrake couldn't fight.
Because he looked like a goddamn, like, magician from, like, the 20s. Like, it's... And it's all the adventures I've seen them in. They'll be in space, they'll be, like, in the future, whatever, and he's still wearing the magician outfit.
Yeah. It's just like, illusions! And so punches in the face. Anyway, so that's it for news this week. So why don't we get into show and tell. And Joe, you mentioned Candle Cove earlier, which...
I did.
Yeah, I saw all of it. You saw five episodes of it.
I plan on closing it out tomorrow night.
Mm-hmm.
But I've really loved everything about it so far.
It's incredibly disturbing.
Yeah. Yeah, like nothing is sacred. Nobody is safe.
Mm-hmm.
They take some really great sort of nods to classic horror tropes, like, you know, murderous kids, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
But they do it in a way that it doesn't feel like cliche. You know, like, when I was watching it, I wasn't like, oh, that's like Children of the Corn. I was watching it and was like, oh, that's like Children of the Corn.
You know? Wait, yeah. Does someone's car get corned?
No corn cars. But
it's a little bit similar premise where it's like this, like, malevolent force is, like, controlling these kids or, like, calling these kids.
Yeah, dude, you should really watch it, man.
Yeah, like, I feel like that's something I'll stumble and just, like, lose myself into for a few hours.
I'm telling you, it's worth it. It's really worth it.
It's really, like, it's a really cool, like, expansion of, because, like, the creepypasta short story is, like, it's cool, but, like, they actually, like, they covered all the, pretty much all the entire creepypasta in the first episode of the show, and so, and then it went, so now it's, then, after that, it was, like, off on its own weird, crazy tangent.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, the creepypasta source material is very cool and provided the jumping off point, but, like that was a sort of, like, hobbyist writer, you know what I mean, who just had a cool idea, and then they were like, oh, man, that's awesome. Here's your credit. You know, like, here's your, story developed by or based on a story by blah, blah, blah. And now we're just going to take this idea. See, the problem with Hollywood isn't necessarily, like, the actual writing, but, like, the formulation of ideas, like, new and fresh ideas. Hence why we're stuck in remake hell for so many of these things. So when they could get, like, a cool jumping off point that feels fresh and everything, like, it's all, as long as you could get a competent writer, like, you could turn out some really cool shit. And that, I feel like that's what's going on here.
Yeah. Because, like, there's a scene in the first episode where, like, everyone's around the dinner table, like, basically, like, saying, like, you guys remember Candle Cove?
I remember Candle Cove. It was fantastic.
Yeah. Like, that's basically, like, what the short story is.
Right.
And then, so then, that scene is, like, basically, like, the plot of the creepypasta, and then, like, the rest of the show is just, like, this, like, just crazy, disturbing expansion of it.
Yeah, like, really goddamn... disturbing, like,
yeah, even just like the when you're just seeing like the regular puppet show, it's just like, it's so weird.
Dude, I was just gonna say, like, the actual Candle Cove, like, puppet show,
yeah,
like, with the characters and like the skeleton faces and all that stuff, like, at its best, it feels like the creepiest, most out of place, like, shots from an old White Zombie or Rob Zombie video.
Yep.
No, I'm serious. Yeah. It's just like, why is there this dancing devil here? Like, why is there this weird, like, glow paint skull? Like,
yeah.
I could see its boobs. Like, what's the message? You know? Even, like, the main, the hero of the Candle Cove, I forget
it's
little boy's name, but, like, the fucking, like, he's, like, very clearly, like, an old doll, you know? It's, like, the old doll head, like, I don't know, just, like, weird little nuances like that make it very unsettling.
Yeah. And then when they, like, because there's parts where, like, you'll see, like, a full-size version of the puppets in, like, the real world, and it's just like, whoa, okay.
Yeah, yeah, and, like...
Like, a skin taker and stuff, and, like...
Right, like, it should be retarded. Like, if you see the giant, like, life-size puppet, like, if you just...
Skeleton pirate man, like...
Right, like, if you saw a screen cap of that, you would be like, what the fuck are you showing me? But, like, if you see the Candle Cove show and then you see that, you're like, whoa, you know? Like, it's kind of, like, startling or unsettling or disturbing or whatever. I will say, though, the few times that you see, like, the skeleton pirate, like, in real life or whatever, like, from the distance and then, like, retreating back into the woods, and, like, obviously they explain... in the second-to-last episode, they explain, like, you know, what's behind all that and everything, or at least at this point in the show, what you think is behind all that. And it has, like, a real-world explanation or whatever, but, like, still, the first few times you see it, it's, like... It's got that supernatural sort of air to it, and it's very unsettling and very creepy. And just, like, I mean, Jesus Christ, like, the murder
Teeth Boy, like...
Teeth Boy, I don't quite know what Teeth Boy's deal is yet. I mean, it's implied and all that stuff, but, like, fuck, like, that's just so unique, you know? And even, what was it? It's either the second or third episode. No spoilers. This doesn't really do anything for the story, but just, like, you want to talk about fucking disturbing. It starts with the, that, like, old man hiking who finds the body.
Mm-hmm.
And then he hears, like, the rustling in the tree, and he looks up, and it's just, like, all those dead kids, and they've been there for so long that they're, like, rotting.
Yep.
Like, dude, I was like, this is Sci-Fi Channel? Because this is, like, that was really, like, I was eating while I was watching that, yeah. And I was like, oh, like, I'm still going to eat this, but I'm not going to feel good about myself.
Well, I think the showrunner, like, I think it's Nick Acosta.
He directed the Friday the 13th reboot.
And he worked on Hannibal. Like, he was part of the NBC Hannibal.
Yeah, but, like, I mean, he was, like, obviously when you direct it, like, you know, it's your show, but he was, like, very much a showrunner for Friday the 13th. Like, in other words, they weren't like, hey, do you want Friday the 13th? And he was like, okay. He was like, I hear you're doing Friday the 13th. Like, I'd really like to do that. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean? So he's definitely, like, a horror guy. He definitely gets it. And isn't, I might have dreamed this, but isn't Max Landis a producer?
Yes.
Yeah. And again, cool ideas, you know? Cool ideas. I mean, I'm not his biggest fan, but, like, I could totally see this being on that, like, glimmer of brilliant side, you know, closer to, like, Chronicle and shit like that with him, and not the stuffed up, like, this is what I would have done if I was doing this movie. If they knew who my dad was and they let me direct the next Batman, this is what I would do. Like, all those videos he does. But anyway, fucking back to Candle Cove. I mean, there's nothing on TV like this. Like, American Horror Story could try to be unique in its own fucked up and borderline unwatchable way, but, like,
yeah,
God damn it. I was hanging on every episode of this show. You know, I really was.
I'm definitely, like, next year should be pretty awesome, too. They're doing No End House. I don't know if you've ever read that creepypasta story, but
no, I'm a big homo, and I don't really read a lot of the creepypastas.
I read the other day, and it's really awesome. Like, it's this haunted house that's set up, and it's like, if you can make it through all 9 rooms, you get $500, and then no one's ever made it through, because, like, it's like, the first room's like, oh, it's like a stupid, like, there's, like, Party City, like, decorations here, but then it just gets, every room just gets more and more and more disturbing and horrible.
Yeah. Well, again, I mean, this has a very... Chris, you know what? A good way to describe this, especially the whole, like, Candle Cove story, is, like, it feels like a really cool, like, Silent Hill sequel.
Hmm.
Like, it's got a lot of the same stuff going on. It's, like, a dude who had a fucked up childhood in this town where there are a bunch of, like, child murders. And he comes back years later as, like, a child therapist. So already you're like, oh, that's dark. Like, what the fuck? Like, this guy, like, all his friends died when he was, like, a little kid. And now he's a child therapist. Like, okay, if you say so.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, he comes back and weird shit starts happening.
But is he?
Exactly. That's the thing. You start finding out more stuff about him and all this stuff. Like, it's just really, like, I don't want to suck its dick too hard, but, like, it's really masterfully done.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's, and the rate at which they release bits of information to you is great. And the other thing, too, is, like, they rip characters away from you, too. Where you're like, oh, I was just starting to like that person. And then it's like, oh, yes, a pack of wild kids just stabbed her to death for, like, 5 gratuitous minutes.
Yep.
Or it's like, oh, yeah, we're just going to, like, show you the whole thing, and then the screen's going to go black, and you're just going to hear the, like, over and over. I was like, wow, this is some big kid shit going on.
I figure, like, maybe they figure out that no kids are watching sci-fi these days, so they're just, well, like...
They figured out that the vast majority is, like, you know, the 18 to 34-year-olds who are like, oh, man, I'll watch... you know, the fourth Freddy Krueger, you know, or, like, I'll watch, you know, one of these horror movie repeats, you know? So, they, in other words, like, they've been pretty soft on horror. They've tried fucking everything they possibly could to do, like, competent sci-fi stuff, and it, like Zach, we were talking about a few minutes ago, it really hasn't been working for them. But it used to be Sci-Fi Channel was where you went to see horror movies, too. So, they're kind of coming back very strong into that.
Yeah, I don't know how it did, like, ratings wise.
I hope, like, tremendously well.
Yeah, I hope this season well, and I hope, like, No End House does well, because there's, like,
I know for a fact that it was I don't know the ratings, but I will say I know for a fact that this was definitely a word of mouth show.
Mm-hmm.
This was not like the People vs. O.J. Simpson, where, like, the first episode, everyone and their mother was, like, watching it. You know, this was, like, two episodes in, and it's like, dude, have you fucking seen Candle Cove? Like, that's basically how it was.
Because there's a bunch of, like, crazy creepypastas they could do if they, like, did more seasons. Like the Russian sleep experiment.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Okay, that's one I did read that I'm actually familiar with.
Yeah.
That would be really incredible. I mean, just the creepy shit you could do with that.
I read, there's another one I read recently that was, I think it was called, like, The Stranger or something, and it's, like, this guy sees this guy riding a subway train, and he sees this guy that is on the train every day just, like, sitting there staring blankly ahead, and then basically, like, he's like, what is the deal with this guy? I'm going to follow him, and then it's just, like, it gets really crazy.
Nice. I mean, obviously, there's always Slender Man, too, but I don't know what the rights are with that.
I feel like that's its own thing. Like Slender Man's getting, like, an HBO documentary.
I was just going to say, depending on how this HBO... Listen... You don't get a fucking HBO documentary that Rolling Stone is covering, and then nobody watches it.
Yeah.
You know, this is going to be, like, the biggest documentary HBO has done since Citizen 4 and or Going Clear, you know, whichever. Those are both huge.
Yeah.
It's going to be huge, and it's going to, you know, if you think Slender Man is oversaturated now, I mean, Jesus Christ, give it a few months after this documentary comes out. It's going to be bananas. So I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, just be like every horror movie is gonna be a creepypasta horror movie.
Yeah, and you know what? I wouldn't even be mad at that because there are a lot of monsters that you can have a good time with, like, you know, Slender Man, obviously, but then there's like The Rake and a few other fairly famous ones. Maybe not as famous as
Jeff the Killer.
right. None as famous as old, you know, Green Bean over there, but
the haunted Legend of Zelda cartridge.
Hey, man.
Sonic EXE.
Yeah.
That episode of SpongeBob where, like, they all commit suicide.
Whatever it takes.
So, anything else besides Candle Cove, Joe?
Yeah, like, 5 seasons of The Walking Dead. Because I basically stopped watching it right before the end of the second season.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, you know what, like, I've heard mixed things about the in the middle seasons, and, like, I would see episodes here and there and be like, I don't know what's going on. So I've been watching nonstop pretty much with my girlfriend, and I basically side with the internet on a lot of stuff, where it's like season 3 was okay, season 4 was pretty much retarded, season 5 was confusing, and now I'm in season 6. Just trying to catch up to old current events there. I mean, I know everything that happens, and I've also, like, you know, familiarized myself with the comics over the years, so it's like, okay, this is interesting that they went with this, but not that, or, like, I know where this is all headed, but still, it's fun to watch it play out. And, yeah, that's pretty much it. That's pretty much it. And now I'm finally one of those people who just lives to hate Rick when he says Carl. Like, it makes my fucking skin crawl. It's terrible.
Carl.
Ugh. Fucking glad your wife's dead.
Glad the Punisher got to her.
Yeah, really. But yeah, that's basically it, man.
Worst part is that Carl is like a Terminator, like, he can't be killed. Shot twice already, and it's just like,
yeah, he's just like totally off limits for death.
Yeah.
And my favorite thing is that, like, they always put him in these really, like, dire situations, and then he just looks like fucking Sheriff Woody the whole time.
Yep.
And he's all, like, skinny with the long hair, and he runs with his arms flailing. I'm like, god damn it, like, you're just trying to make me laugh. Like, stop this at once. Anywho, it's pretty much it for me. Although I saw, I mean, you know, some other stuff here and there, but it's just not important.
Mm-hmm. So, Chris, you and I saw Judge Dredd.
Yeah, we did.
We recorded our November commentary, which will be going up in a week or two here on the site. But we had to record early because of vacations and holidays and stuff, so...
It's good, because we just saw this movie, like, in the right mindset, just like, okay, just kind of watch this, mm-hmm. and We weren't drinking, because I imagine drinking would have been, like, a goddamn philosophical, like, I had to talk about life and death and clones and law.
What is the nature of the law?
Yeah.
Well, I am the law, thus I am nature. Whoa, that's profound.
You betrayed the law!
I mean... We analyzed a lot about just, like, the fact that the movie looks good. Like, it's a very... The plot is very simple, but, like, I appreciate now, as a movie viewer, is just, like, the fact that they mix, like, a lot of props and stuff. Like, a lot of it didn't... A lot of CG didn't age well, but the parts where they really use, like, a real, like, prop and then a little bit of CG and a little bit of matte painting...
Mm-hmm.
Not bad, you know.
Like Mega City 1 looks pretty. Like there's like the like then when they fly in for the in the opening, like looks pretty good. Yeah,
it's really good, like runnery. Yeah, it's and then it's like on par to me, like Fifth Element, like with like figuring out like cluster cities and just like, you know, how people in the future could just kind of like live on top of each other. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was pretty cool. But then it's like if you familiarize with the source material, you realize what point do they just go wrong?
Like, when Sloane takes his helmet off
and then just keeps on, just like it seemed like what we pointed out, when he goes in that room, takes his helmet off, he like threw away his helmet. He's like, I won't be doing this anymore. Like, never puts it back on.
Behold, you're never gonna see me in this again.
Behold, yeah. Stallone in all of his glory.
But that's the thing, like Stallone was, he still is, but he was a mega star at the time. Like, you couldn't have him just being a mask.
Well, we were talking like I think this, like Judge Dredd is kind of like the like turning point of like the like kind of the end of like 90s superstar Stallone, because mm-hmm. it bombed horribly and it got
critically. Yeah, no, I know,
like,
I know.
Like, and then like after that, like every, like the movies he did after that were like, was like Driven, like ICU, Copland, like yeah, like there wasn't anything really, there wasn't anything good until Rocky Balboa, like 10 years later.
It wasn't like Cliffhanger or like
Expendables.
Cobra.
Well, yeah, yeah. Well, Rocky Balboa was before Expendables, so like I would say like Rocky Balboa was kind of like the it was like, oh yes, Sloane's back, guys. Yeah.
GP.
But like, I also forgot in the beginning of this movie, you see the like 2000 AD comics of Judge Dredd, and you're kind of like, huh, like just to remind you that so, this was based on a comic.
You won't see any of this in the movie.
And the one thing that's crazy is that they use the like one of the original like Judge Dredd fonts in the beginning as the logo, and I was like, that's ballsy, like just to like. Like, because for some, a lot of people, like, they're not familiar with Judge Dredd, especially when it's PG-13 version Judge Dredd. And it's just like, here's a quick summary. This is a thing. And they're like, oh, okay.
Summary from James Earl Jones?
No, that's the second part. That's another jarring thing, is they got James Earl Jones to do, like, a voiceover to kind of get you up a Mega City 1 and, like, why this city is like this and that, like, this is the world as today.
Well, actually, it was rated R, Chris.
Was it?
Yeah, I'm just looking at IMDb, like, in rated R.
I felt like PG-13, because this is a soft R. Because there's, like, no
I'm sure it's
violence.
Well, there's a little squib work going on. Like, when people get shot, some squibs going on.
Okay, so, but, like, even then, it's, like, compared to the new Judge Dredd, that's a new R. Like, this is a very, like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, 100%.
Miles beyond each other.
Yeah.
But, the fact that, like, this could have been a little more brutal, because it's very like it's like when Judge Dredd is like eliminating people, it's like funny, you know what I mean? Like he's like saying one-liners and he's like,
"God is a jerk.
I know you say that." Like Chris Ali had really great timing, just to insert that at every opportune moment.
Yeah, because they're trying to make that a running joke or some sort of catchphrase, and it's just like,
yeah,
what is this?
Yeah, like he. Oh my god! Like when Max Van Sydow gets stabbed, and then the fight after that, it becomes a funny fight instead of like a serious one. It's like, you know, like talk about swinging bats, and then it's like, I'm gonna cite you for using illegal city power. I'm like, what?
The sentence is death.
No, that's cool, because that's actually kind of what the comic Dredd is like. Mm-hmm. He's
like a sentence of death.
He judges you while he's trying to shoot you in the face. Yeah. Meanwhile, there's scenes where there is a court scene, which I'm pretty sure doesn't happen in the comic, where it's like Law and Order, where the judges are like prosecuting, you know, Judge Dredd. And I was like, is it always like this?
Mm-hmm.
And then, I don't know.
But the like the obvious MVP of this movie though is Armand Asante.
Armand Asante. Oh my god.
He is like, incredible.
I wanted like it sucks that like Stallone and him are like in this movie together. Cause like I prefer like another Stallone lookalike to be the role of like Rico, because then it's like that is comic version. So it actually makes more sense as like clone babies. But I do appreciate Armand Asante as Crazy Rico, but then it's like they're supposed to be like the same clones.
They're genetically, and it's like, they're genetically identical.
But it's like they aren't blatantly, but yeah. We'll go with it. But yeah, he is scenery chewing, like in Nicolas Cage level crazy ranting. Like It's amazing. It's fortunate because Armand Asante, like, he's a good actor. It's just he's not in a lot of movies. Like, he's not in a lot of crazy movies. Like, nowadays, he's always, like, an old guy in, like, mafia movies.
Yeah. He was in, like, American Gangster or something, like...
And he's, like, one scene, and, like, yeah. He's in a chair half the time. Mm-hmm. It's not quite the same.
Yeah, we were also talking, too, about, like basically, like... Because Demolition Man came out 2 years before this movie, and Demolition Man... is what the tone of Judge Dredd should have been. Where it's kind of like satirical and everyone's insane, but everything is wacky around Stallone. Because that's kind of like, that's how like in the comics, like Mega City 1 is fucking nuts. There's a McDonald's that is floats in the sky and people go there and live there and get huge and fat, and then there's just a bunch of crazy shit happening in Mega City 1, like virtual reality theme parks and like dinosaur zoos and
a lot of the idea of the citizens there is a mix of like British punk culture and cyberpunk things, and then just
like satire regular... of America.
Yeah, it's a satire of America, and it's just like crazy, like
every street's named after like a celebrity.
Right, so I'm saying that works well as a comic, but it felt like the guys who did this movie had, such a rushed job, and they're, they try to do the best they can. Like, it's a band-aid job of, kind of forcing everything together. Because, again, this is, the first quarter of the movie. They introduce the city, and the rest of the movie is never mentioning that part again. Mm-hmm. Like, the Metropolis, the different gangs, or,
Block War.
Block War, the Dredd system. It's like every time they try to focus on one thing, they quickly shoo it aside for the main plot of Dredd being like a clone baby. Yeah. And then it's just like no one cares. Like even at the end, it's not important.
I gotta get back to work.
Yeah. It's like, man, you're not shocked the fact that like you killed your brother and like you're a clone baby
you murdered these clones that were like half formed that look like Deadpool from X-Men Origins Wolverine.
Or the fact that all the judges, lot of the judges are dead, so it's, eight 100, real judges.
100 judges are dead.
Yeah. So it's just like, nope, I'm good. A little crazy there, but whatever. Yeah, and then the time you try to focus on that, the movie's over. And yep. It's whatever, I'm just grateful that it's over. Then followed by one of the weirdest choices for the theme song at the end of Judge Dredd.
Yeah, the Dredd song by The Cure.
And as we're listening to it, we couldn't figure out, is this a Cure song? Because it sounds like a Cure song, but it doesn't sound like a Cure song. And it's just Don't Hold the Night. We're like, what? Or Time Could Wait or something.
Well, that was the second that was like...
That was the love ballad.
Yeah. The weird, R&B, Boyz II Men song that was, so inappropriate for Dredd.
There are so many stories I have to know.
At least Demolition Man had Sting making a new version of Demolition Man the song.
That's fine. But this had they had a Rob Zombie song in this, and they just a Rob Zombie and Rammstein song. And they just not use that. Mm-hmm. But they should have. They could have. But they're just nope. I feel like Judge Dredd kind of put comic book movies behind a little bit, but then again, a lot of people didn't know this was a comic book, so it's no one could really tell where to put the blame on.
Well, I feel like the major sin is that, when Dredd came out, people were Judge Dredd, that stupid Stallone movie? Like, I'm not going to go see that. That was stupid the first time.
Yeah, okay. I meant that as the pro. Yeah, its legacy is insulting the new movie.
Like that's why it made, like, no money. Because people were like, I'm not going to go see Judge Dredd again. That was stupid. Rob Schneider.
Which we even said, like, Rob Schneider is really not necessary for this.
Except it was the 90s and Rob Schneider wasn't everything.
We had a joke that, like, this definitely wasn't a Stallone decision, where it's just like, you know what people like in Demolition Man? Rob Schneider. He taught me how to poop at shells. It's just like, okay. It's like, I want him in the Dredd movie.
Yeah.
That'd be funny. Like, it would have been way more appropriate if you got the guy who played Paulie from Rocky to be in this. And it's like, that would make way more sense as, like, why these guys talk to each other.
Or Carl Weathers, you know, or something.
Holy shit. Can you imagine if Carl Weathers was in it and it's just, like, a whole different, like, story where it's, like, Judge Dredd and, like, I don't know, another judge? Just something.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, that'll be up, in like, a week or two on the site. So definitely keep an eye out for that. And you can add Judge Dredd on Netflix to your queue right now if you want to get ready for that. And then, Chris, what else have you been watching?
I've been watching a lot of Westworld. It's the only show, I think, right now that I am caught up, like, every week. So it's, like, one of the rare shows that, like, I'm actually on track for.
Mm-hmm.
Totally love it. You know, like, I'm all in for it. It's gotten to that point where it's getting to Battlestar Galactica levels of, like, who's a Cylon. I feel like that's going to come up next.
Yeah.
Where it's like, it's also, that's right.
It's also the new Lost, because there's, like, every Monday there's like
new theories.
50 articles about theories and, like, what's going on. And, like, how this episode, like, reinforces this theory, or, like, this episode, like, this
Now they introduced the, like, questionable narrator, or, like, you can't tell, like, is that the term, Joe? Like, unreliable narrator. And it's like, instead of just like, oh, what we learned was like another perspective, now it's like, oh, what we saw was because of like weird like programming. And it's like, we got to really watch that scene again to really tell, like, are we missing key factors now? It's like, oh, God.
Yeah, go back and watch all the episodes again.
Well, oh, that's another thing. So it's like, is it going to be forgiving for the viewers where it's like they'll just flash back and just retell us? Or is it something so fucking avant-garde that it's actually not going to tell us, and we just have to interpret like the scene knowing what we know now? Like, you know what I mean? Is it going to be like on hard mode of like explaining the story?
I don't think they're going to be. I think they're going to be like Jonathan Nolan running it. So I think it's going to be like you're going to like pay attention and look for clues and like they're
spinning tops.
They're not going to be like, they're not going to do like. Like, because there's no recaps or anything for the show, right? Or they don't do, like, previously on Westworld.
Well, not they do that in the beginning, like, a quick breakdown, but, I mean, like, is there going to be a part of this?
I don't think they're going to flash, like, be like, remember this for this?
Yeah, I mean, like is it going to be like, so let me give you an example, Zach. One way to, like, recant something and kind of, like, change the perspective is to do the Arrow thing where, like, they're talking in a room. And he has a goddamn island flashback that perfectly explains the current situation.
No.
That's one way of doing it. The second way is like a bullshit Family Guy way, where it's like
cutaway,
a super cutaway that doesn't have. There's no intro to it, and it just happens, and then it's like goes back, and we're like, and then you just resume, and I'm like, I hate that. Then yeah, so I don't know. I'm not too familiar with this guy's story writing, but it could just be like, yeah, like you have to like watch it again and just interpret it differently now, like, you know, that I wouldn't mind that, but I just have no time to like fucking rewatch that and just fill in the blanks myself. Like, fuck you. Like, I need to not think. That's why I'm watching robots have sex with each other.
Westworld is not the show to watch if you don't want to think.
Yeah, it's very. At the end of the episode, it's like a goddamn like.
Because there's so many characters to keep track of. Like, it's game. Like, it's definitely Game of Thrones level, where it's like there's like a ton of characters. There's tons of plot lines going on. There could be like timeline things going on.
But that's the thing about Game of Thrones, though. It got so of the three examples I showed you, it went the Arrow version now, because they introduced that like dream zone, time zone thing where it's like you can flash back to a previous period and it's like, oh, okay, so I don't need to interpret weird bullshit art on a wall anymore. It's like they'll actually show me a dream sequence. But here it's like dreams don't exist, except sometimes they do. Like robot dreams, I'm like, oh mm-hmm. boy. Yeah, like, I like it. I mean, I just had nothing to do, like, for an evening, so I watched, like, 4 episodes, and I was, like, on track, totally.
I think there's only 3 episodes left, because it's a 10-episode season.
Yeah, that's why season 2 got approved, because people are just like, you don't have enough time left. There's just not enough to understand the whole story.
They were gonna renew it from episode 1, where, like, it got, had, like, the highest premiere, like, in since, like, True Detective season 1. Like... It was like,
oh, yeah, right, but like, right, if right. season 2 ends up just like True Detective season 2.
Oh, God, no. Please, no.
Out of nowhere.
Why would you even say that?
Yeah, don't, why are you cursing us, Chris?
Is it, I don't know. I just kind of like to see the same mistake repeated twice.
I just want to watch the world burn.
I don't know. Time's like a crazy loop. Just
Vince Vaughn's running Westworld now, guys.
No. He just comes in with his wife, and they're trying to have a kid with a robot.
And then he gets attacked by, like, imaginary rap.
Imaginary, he gets attacked ups. By robots DMC. Yep. Like, because, like, it has all the fixings for, like, a gunfight, a goddamn weird drug trade, a sex orgy house that doesn't go anywhere, corruption.
Mm-hmm. Vince Vaughn is the new, he's, like, the CEO of the company that is, like, trying to buy Westworld or, like, take over Westworld. Or Colin Farrell.
Is the thing, I don't mind season 2 of True Detective so much, but because I like key parts of it, but like overall it's like terrible, you know, like
I just thought
of True Detective, you know,
it lost me when it basically like reset itself and just did the same thing again. Like,
it's like the first 3 episodes of True Detective,
the 3 episodes, and they just basically just like, welp, you guys like that, we're gonna do that again, get ready.
Well, because like we watch that scene where Colin Farrell like beats up the bully's dad in front of him in his house.
Yep.
And I like that scene. That's just like, I don't know, man, that speaks to me, but I like, it's so like, it fits so well in the story. And then it's like after that they just like do crazy mob casino talks, and then, you know, nothing happens.
Yep.
For a while.
But Westworld, yeah, I don't think we'll have to worry about that.
No, like, that's the thing. It's not going to go off the deep end of, like, crazy poor fall-offs between seasons, but I also feel this is a J.J. Abrams, like, production, too, so he might try to do something crazy, be, like, innovative, and that's going to sink the show.
Well, I know, like, so Westworld, the movie, had a sequel called Future World, and I think what happened is, like, robots from Westworld ended up in, like, the real world. So,
well, no, the company tried to take over humanity with their own, like, controlled robots, yeah, to replace people. And that was the thing about Future World, was that, like, people try to realize, like, people are seeing the bots from Future World, like, then, like, putting on suits and, like, walking out the door. They're just like, what?
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think any characters from the original movie, like, were in the sequel, right?
Yul Brynner had a cameo.
Well, he was still, like, a designated robot.
Yeah.
Like, so he just couldn't leave the parks.
And then there was a show called Beyond Westworld.
I didn't see that. I don't remember that at all. And then it became a goddamn just, like, Battlestar Galactica level. Just like, are you a human or a robot? Yeah,
I think so. I think it's what happened.
And I feel like they're trying to walk that edge of it, too, where it's like, what really makes up a human and what really makes up a robot? Then it's like, can you tell the difference? So.
I feel like it's either gonna go that direction where like robots from Westworld like start going in the real world, or they just introduce like, hey, look, we got medieval world and Roman world now, along with Westworld.
I feel like it kind of like it introduced a little bit of too many crazy theories at once, and it's like I would rather follow 2 of the 3 plots, not 2 of like, because I only like the John Marston, like, not the John Marston, but the James Marston and like Ed Harris storyline. That could have been like the one of just 2 plot lines would have been fine. But the fact you got like the like writers and AI programmers storyline. You have like the Ed Harris Man in Black storyline, like his own one too.
Mm.
Then you have like
every character kind of has their own.
Yeah, every character that has more than like 8 minutes of screen time has a goddamn subplot, and it's just like they interact and they don't, and it's just like, and then sometimes you can't tell if it's the same time or not, and that's the worst part. It's like timelines. Now, are they in the part all the same time, or is it just like different decades, and you have no idea?
Mm-hmm. Hopefully, we'll find out soon, probably.
Yeah, we'll find something out.
So, anything else besides Westworld, Chris?
No, that's about it.
Well, I'll keep it in TV for my first thing. I watched the last episode of Black Mirror season 3, which was called "It's Hated in the Nation." It's the longest episode. It's an hour and a half, so it's basically like just a full movie for a Black Mirror episode. But it's like Law and Order, Black Mirror, sort of, where it's like these detectives are trying to figure out these murders that are going on in London, where like it's like the most hated people on the internet are getting murdered. Like there's this reporter who like basically like writes like this like terrible article about this person who's like is like campaigning for like disabled rights who got like killed. And everyone's just like, oh my god, what a great loss. And she's like, was she really that great? and so I like Twitter's just like, kill her. And yeah, and then they eventually find out there's like this like hashtag like death2, and then whoever has like the most like connections to that hashtag is like the person who's like who'll probably get murdered.
So it's like a Deadpool kind of thing?
Kind of, but then there's also like robot bees involved. Because in this future, the weird future that's going on, like bees are basically almost extinct. So like to keep pollination going, like they're, the UK approved like this plan to have like robotic bees pollinate plants now. So this company like created all these robot bees. It's not my favorite episode of the season 3, but it was okay. Like I think like Charlie Brooker, who like created the whole show, said like he was trying to do like his spin on like those like weird like all those like European crime shows that are like kind of like are big right now, like The Killing or like any of those like Danish or Norwegian or like British like crime shows. So he was trying to do that with like the tech spin that they always do for Black Mirror.
Right.
Yeah, it probably didn't need to be an hour and a half too. Like, if it drags a little bit, but it was like there's no bad episodes of Black Mirror. It's just like some of them are not great.
They're not to once you have like kind of the A-list writing, it's hard for episodes that just aren't up to level, because then you could definitely feel like the difference.
Yeah, there's like two tiers of Black Mirror episodes. There's like the amazing ones and like the good ones.
Like good ones are still good. Yeah. They're just not the same.
Like those are still better than like most episodes of TV shows that are on right now. But
analog like anthology shows, yeah. Like this. Like they're interesting. They make you think a little bit, but not as well as like the well like defined ones that are just like blatantly like have a message.
Mm-hmm.
Or like is subtle about it. Because like, yeah, the one I even don't like is the Waldo thing, and I was just like, yeah, I remember watching it drunk, and I was like, maybe this is why I watched it drunk. Like, it didn't stick with me because I just didn't like it so well.
I think everyone considers that's like the weakest one ever in life by like the majority of people.
It's still like it's decent, like it's just a fun watch, but it's just like it doesn't stick with you. It sticks with me because I didn't like it. That's the only thing is the worst part, but that's about it.
Yeah. But yeah, definitely worth watching all those episodes on Netflix if you haven't seen any Black Mirror. And then as far as movies go, I finally saw Ratchet and Clank. Which, so I watched the movie after playing the game, and the movie feels like, you guys know, like, on YouTube, how they make, like, some people make, like, the, like, they'll make, like, it's like Uncharted the movie, where they, like, just take the cutscenes and, like, make a movie out of it.
Yeah.
Bastards.
It, yeah. Like, Ratchet & Clank kind of feels like that. Like, the actual movie feels like that, where it's like, because the game actually has, like, the cutscenes in the game are, like, from the movie, but then you actually get to play, you actually get to do the levels and, like, do, like, everything that's, like, going on. And, like, the movie feels, it's like, it'll, like, it feels like every, like, the action scenes are missing because they were in the game. Like, it's just, like not a lot happens, and it's just, like, it just, I don't know, it's just, it's not that great.
Well, maybe because you played the game, so you know.
I would 100% like play the game. Do not watch the movie. Like that's
or
that's,
like watch the movie then play the game if you want to. Like,
I don't.
Expand.
I don't even know that you don't even need to watch the movie because the game is the story of the movie, but just with
right,
the Ratchet Clank gameplay. So
that's see. I actually thought I actually had the feeling that it was going to be the same exact thing, and I was like, why are they doing this? Why wouldn't they want to make an original movie that you know doesn't have like a better version somewhere else?
Yeah. Well. So the movie and the game, the PS4 game, are both kind of like reboots of the first Ratchet and Clank on PS2.
Yeah, it's like an alternate retelling of it.
Yeah. But with some stuff from like the other games, because like Dr. Nefarious is like the co-villain of this one, and he didn't show up to like 2 or 3.
I didn't play a lot of Ratchet and Clank games. I actually appreciate the like other one where it's like arena where like you have a squad.
Deadlocked.
Yeah. So the one was like you have two
it was, like,
robot buddies.
Like Running Man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was different though. Like it was a different vibe from the rest of the series.
Well, I mean, the PS like the original PS2 trilogy is great. The PS like the PS3 trilogy is amazing. The Crack in Time like or like. And like I forget the subtitles, but like basically like it turns into like Clank is like the keeper of like all, like it's supposed to be like the keeper of all like this all the time in the universe and stuff. It gets nuts, but like because
I thought he was a secret spy or something like that.
There's like a game. There's like a secret agent Clank where like it was like Clank became like an actor too, or like a celebrity or something. So like that, like Secret Agent Clank, the game was like Clank made him like a James Bond movie, basically.
See, I didn't own a PS3, so like I missed out on like looking into that like unique like game because you can only play it on PS3. There wasn't like any other option.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, they've all been PlayStation exclusive, so. But yeah, I mean, yeah, it just there's not like. Like, there's not really, like, a lot of, like, action sequences in the movie. Like, there's like, a couple, but, like, it just feels like it feels like the game without the game. Like, it's just, like, it's kind of pointless as a movie. Like, I think the only thing you get from the movie that it's not in the game is, like, you get, like, the celebrity voices because they didn't show up in the game. Like Sylvester Stallone is the main robot henchman for the main bad guy, but then they just got like some generic person, like a Stallone sound alike for the game. But the cool thing about the movie is that they actually got like the actual like game actors for like Ratchet, Clank, and Quark, which is like kind of cool. So it's not like a weird like we got like. Some weird Disney star to be Ratchet, like it's actually like it's the voices that you like expect from the games. But I was like 100% like just buy or rent the game if you want to check out Ratchet Clank. I think it's gonna be like $10 on Black Friday, so like definitely check that out.
Yeah, I think the game came out before the movie too, so yeah. It's just like. Hey, you guys like that game? How about like all the cutscenes?
I think it was only like 40. I think when it came out, it was discounted. And now it's like I think it's like 20 now or something. Like it's pretty much like at that price, it's pretty much a must buy. The game is a must buy. Like, it looks amazing. And then like it's a little bit like if you've played like the previous Ratchet games, like especially like the PS3 games, it's a little simplified. Like after like because like. Especially like the last PS3 game, like there was like ton like you were doing like puzzle levels with Clank where like you had like make like multiple Clanks because of like you had to like set up like multiple timelines with Clanks and like to solve puzzles. And this one's just like, have Clank go in this small area and do something for a little bit, and then he'll push the button. So, like, the puzzle solving is, like, not as, and it's way less complicated than the previous series, but it's still pretty fun. You have to go to, like, crazy planets. And it has a better, like, bookend thing going on, where, like, Quark is telling the story from prison, which is not in the movie. And then, like, during the game, like, Quark will, like, basically, like, say things like, oh, that didn't happen, or, like, what's going on here? This is what's going on. But, yeah, so I watched that. I also I got to check out the Shallows.
Oof.
Oh, did you see that, Joe, or?
No, there's a reason I didn't. How?
It was.
How was that?
It was all right. It was a solid, like, trapped in one location movie, which I'm a sucker for. Mm-hmm. Like, I like, I don't know. Like, if it's like a person stuck trapped somewhere, like, I mean, I'll usually check it out.
Gotcha.
Yeah, it was all right. Like, the ending is fucking nuts, but it's a decent, like, it's a pretty solid setup, and then. Blake Lively's character is actually does smart things, which is good. Like, actually, like, and it helps that, like, she's, like, a medical student, so she is, like, when she first gets attacked by a shark, she has, like, this, like, gaping leg wound, and she's able to, like, basically, like, she uses, like, her, like, wetsuit and, like, her, like, earrings, like, basically sew her leg up with what she has.
Oh, she's not just like a surfer, like, she's actually like a competent person.
Yeah, like, she actually does, like, smart decisions to, like, survive the shark.
Because, like, the trailer does not mention that. She's kind of like, I'm going surfing! I'm not telling anyone! Bye! Like,
yeah.
Like, I don't know about that.
Yeah, the shark is just like, I don't know what the deal with the shark is, but, like, he's just, like, hanging out, just, like, waiting.
I hate this bitch.
Yeah. And then, like, it just murders, like, if you step in the water, like, the shark just murders you. Like,
if it eats people, like, why does it still want to eat Blake Lively?
Yeah. Well, actually, it gets lured in because there's, like, a whale, there's, like, a beached whale that, I guess, the shark attacked before or something, or, like, it was eating before, and... Like, it kind of, like, washes up in, like, this, like, bay where Blake Lively's surfing. And so she, like, ends up, like, kind of, like, she's, like, going with, like, one last wave. And then the shark, like, pops out of the wave and, like, bites her leg. And then she has to get to, like, this, like, there's this, like, little, like, rock island that shows up at high, like, low tide. So she's basically stuck on this, like, little, like, this little island, like, a couple hundred yards from shore for, like, hours. And that's pretty much the entire, like, most of the movie is, like, basically, like, her on this, like, rock island trying to, like, figure out a way, like, if she can make it to shore, or, like, make it to, like, this, like, buoy that's nearby, and trying to figure out, like, where the shark is.
But it seems like anyone who comes to help her, they're always like, we should come and surf and say hi to you, just like, no, get away!
Oh, yeah, everyone, there's, like, three other people that kind of show up that could potentially help her, and they all just, like, wander into the ocean and, like, get just devoured by the shark.
The thing is, like, some of these people are, like, the locals, you know, like, they know sharks exist, like, they know the signs.
Everyone's just like, there's no sharks here. There's never been a shark in this area. Oh, and it also does, because it's the same director who directed Unknown and Nonstop and Run All Night, the Liam Neeson trilogy. So there's a ton of, like, his it was especially Unknown, but, like, it's like all over the place here. Like, he's, like, obsessed with, like, putting, like, like cell phone stuff on screen. Like, if you guys remember Nonstop, where, like, you saw, like, text messages going on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Liam Neeson, kind of. Like, that's, like, the main way, like, Liam Neeson was getting, like, all the threats from, like, the person doing things, was, like, he was getting text messages, and it would, like, show up on, like, the right side of the screen, like, this, like, scrolling text messages boxes.
Ah, okay, yeah.
So in this, like, it's, like, they put, like, the FaceTime chat she's having with, like, her sister on screen, and then they keep showing, like, she has, like, she's, like, wearing this watch, so they keep flashing, like this, like, insert of this watch that's, like, counting down to, like, high tide. There's a lot of stuff on screen. But it was decent. Like, if you're a fan of like shark movies or trapped in one location movies, it's pretty good.
Blake Lively.
Yeah, if you want to see Blake Lively in a bikini fighting sharks and making friends with a seagull that she calls Steven Seagull.
I like her.
That's like her Wilson is like this seagull that has like a broken wing, and she fixes the wing and then like puts him on like a little surfboard and like is like, bye Stephen, you'll survive. I probably won't.
Does it come back and like bring its friends? It brings the real Steven Seagull.
They all fight the shark. All the seagulls fight the shark at the end. No. And then last movie I saw is I watched Sky High on Netflix. I think it just got recently added, because of the this deal. But yeah, that is a fun ass movie.
Like it's, at the time when it came out, it was underrated because mm-hmm. like you know how crazy of an idea this was.
Yeah, well, no, it feels like live action Incredibles kind of, or like a sequel to the Incredibles, where it's like now like the kids are in high school. Because, like, Kurt Russell is, like, 100% like Mr. Incredible. Like, same power set, like, same attitude, where it's just like, we're the best! But yeah, the cast of Sky High is, like, insane. Like, especially like, the supporting cast, Kurt Russell, and then, like, just a bunch of people from, like, Kids in the Hall, and, Broken Lizard, and, like, Bruce fucking Campbell as the gym teacher.
Yep.
Which is, like, his first scene where, he's sorting them out into different, like, either hero or sidekick. Like, that scene is, like, worth watching the movie by itself. Just, like, Bruce Campbell's ripping on people. Like, ripping on these kids for, like, 5 minutes. Like, if their powers suck, he's just, like, sidekick, get out. Like, the one kid, like, melts into, like, a puddle. He's like, ooh, that was impressive. You know what else can do that? A popsicle. Sidekicks.
Yeah, I feel like he had fun making that.
Yeah. Linda Carter's the principal, like...
Oh, she's only in it for, like, 10 minutes.
Yeah. So. Cloris Leachman's, like, in one scene as the school nurse. But, yeah, the thing about the ending of that movie is kind of nuts, because, the plan makes no sense. Like, the evil plan makes no sense. Where, like, you find...
Of where you shrinking babies and...
Yeah. Where you find out, like, spoiler, that, like, Mary Elizabeth Winstead is, like, this, like... She was a supervillain, then she got turned into a baby, and then she grew back up, and now she's trying to turn everyone into babies.
And then do what with them? Just babies?
She was... Well, her original plan back in, like... whatever it was, like, the 60s or 70s or whatever, when, like, Kurt Russell was in high school, or, like, when they originally fought her, was, like, she wanted to, like, turn everyone into babies and, like basically, like, brainwash them as they grow up, and, like, it's, like, a supervillain Sky High. And just make everyone villains.
She wants to make, like, Villain High.
Yeah, Villain High, basically. But then, it makes no sense because... Like, she got turned into a baby because, like, Kurt Russell, like, smashed her, like, baby gun. And then it backfired and turned her into a baby. And then she got raised by a pre-community Jim Rash. A.K.A. the Dean. Who was, like, her weird jester sidekick.
Her jester father.
Yeah. But then she remembers everything about what happened. So it's like, even if you turn Kurt Russell into a baby, he's not going to grow up and be like, oh, yeah, I'll be a supervillain now. It's like, he's just like... The second he's able to talk, he's gonna be like, "Fuck you! I'm Kurt Russell.
Kurt Russell.
I'm a superhero. Like, what are you doing?"
Yeah, like it doesn't wipe your memory. It just makes you like small.
Yeah. And I also don't understand like how like what the plan of like getting like the other like the other bully kids to like be in the plan. Like, what were they gonna get out of it? I guess were they gonna be like teachers at Villain High or whatever, or like
no idea. Some of the villains were just
we have to follow the popular girl. Like
maybe that was it. It's just like they formed a clique, and that was the evil plan.
Yeah. I don't know. I do love that, like, two of those guys, the two main bullies are like, basically Bulk and Skull.
Except for, like, crazy stupid powers.
Yeah, well, one's like, Evil Flash, and then one's, like, Evil...
But he's, like, fat. He's like, one's a fat Flash.
Yeah. But yeah, it's just a fun, I love that their main sport is, like, save the citizen. It's, like, the weird, like, combat, like, they just fight each other. And that's like, the school sport. And also, the soundtrack is kind of, like, crazy, because it's, like, it's all 80s songs, but it's, like, covers of 80s songs. By, like, random bands.
Yeah, I don't remember the soundtrack.
It's, like, yeah, if you watch it again, like, there's nothing but 80s songs in it, but it's all, like, cover versions of 80s songs.
They couldn't get all the license, so it's, like, good or not.
It's, like, this weird alternate universe where, like, the 80s didn't happen until 2005. And there's also, like, whenever Will, the main character, whenever he sees Mary Elizabeth Winstead, like, he just hears, like, True by Spandau Ballet. When it's sort of like Wayne's World, when they're, like, they just hear, like, Dreamweaver. Also, it's also weird, there's, like, a weird, like, future superhero thing where, like Danielle Panabaker from Flash is in this as, like, the main, like Will's best friend who has, like, Poison Ivy powers, but then in Flash he's, like, Killer Frost. There's a lot of people that are on shows now that are in this movie.
That's good.
The first thing, like Stephen Strait is who's like the main person on the guy on The Expanse on Sci-Fi is like he's like the War and Peace, like the fire guy. I'm the loner guy.
You should have been like a villain, but he's not.
Yeah, don't mess with me, I'm fire guy. I think that's right before he did that that crazy, like, not the craft. It was like the craft of dudes.
The Covenant. The
Covenant, or yeah. Yeah, definitely worth checking out. If you skipped over it when it came out in, like, 10 years ago. Yeah, early to mid 2000s Disney is like a blank spot for me, kind of. Like I've watched a bunch of the anime movies that came out during that time since then, but like because that was like the weird like they were like a super slump. It was like the Treasure Planet like Journey to Atlantis like era of Disney.
Yeah, it was like their weird like experimental phase.
Because the golden age of the 90s was done, and it was before like the resurgence they're in now. And it was like, well, let's try this. But yeah, so that's all I've been watching for the week. So I think we can wrap this thing up. Anything else you can think of when you talk about, Chris?
Nah, I think we covered a lot today.
Mm-hmm. So keep an eye out for the Judge Dredd commentary. It's going up pretty soon. I think no episode next week because of Thanksgiving and stuff. But we'll be back the week after for more podcast goodness. All the regular features from the site are up there every day as well. So for Chris and Joe, I'm Zach, and we will see you next week.
For more Everything Action, visit everythingaction.com. Email us at contact@everythingaction.com, facebook.com/everything.action, twitter.com/evaction, everythingaction.tumblr.com, and search for us on the iTunes Music Store and stitcher.com.